The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for all his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias, her own daughter, came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the guests. He did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. I'd now like to invite the confirmation candidates to please stand. So, Father Dennis, it is my great pleasure to present these confirmation candidates to you for confirmation. They have attended classes and studied and reflected on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They have attended retreats. They've done service projects. They've prayed together. And their faith has endured through a pandemic. So I'm proud to present them as being ready to be confirmed.
Thank you, Cambria. So now you can be seated. So it was not a very good story in the gospel this morning. You know, we have bad women and poor old John the Baptist lost his head. And we saw all the terrible things going on and the plotting and so on. And of course, we're not amazed at that, because that happens in many, many parts of life to today. And I want to go back to the reading from the Corinthians, St. Paul. And last night here, we had a reading also from St. Paul to the Corinthians, and he was talking about wisdom. And what St. Paul is saying to the people of Corinth this morning, Corinth was a seaport at the time of Jesus, a rather busy place, and you had people coming and going, and all the things that that means. There was a lot of bad things going on in Corinth, and people were a wealthy place, and people became very self-sufficient. And Paul is saying, that's not very wise. We all need God in our lives. And anybody who is totally independent and aware of their own powers, and I can do everything, and I need nobody to help me, they're aiming for a downfall, and they will fall sooner or later. We see that a lot. And I'm always worried when I meet young people and I'd say to them, how are you getting on? And what part of school are you at? Or are you going to college? And what are you hoping to do after you leave college? And very often I get the answer, well, I want to be famous. Famous. Well, fame is a very short-lived thing. I want a lot of children today, they want to be a famous footballer or a famous celebrity. But that's not. God loves ordinary people. And when you accept, I'm just one of God's ordinary people, a child of God, I'm special to God. God loves me more than anybody else in the whole world. He loves you just as you are. And I think the greatest thing you can be in your life is to be the person God wants you to be. Nothing more and nothing less. And to put your best into each and every day of your life. And that's it. And what are you doing here this morning? Somebody said to you, where are you going this morning? And you said, well, I'm going along to the church to be confirmed. And they never heard of this. Being what? Being confirmed. I'm receiving the sacrament of confirmation. The what? The sacrament of confirmation. What is that about? Well, I think in simple terms, the way I would explain it. Well, you see, many years ago, my mom and dad and my godparents and my grandma and my granddad and maybe my brothers and sisters and my family, when I was a little tiny baby, they brought me into a church and they poured water on my head. And I thought that was very unfair. And I was screaming, and I even puked on the priest, which has happened, believe me. And I wondered, and I didn't know anything about it. And then afterwards, they taught me, they showed me photographs. And I said, when I was able to talk, what are you doing to me? And they said, you were baptized. But you see, you had no choice about that. It was just done to you. Now, a lot of people don't realize, actually, that when the church talks about baptism, they always talk about it as an adult sacrament, you know, somebody old enough. That's the way it was in the very beginning. People old enough would come along and say, I want to be a Christian, I want to be baptized. So what you're doing today, now that you're old enough, is you're saying to everybody here, saying to your parents and to your teachers and to Camry and to myself, listen, I want to confirm, I want to accept what was done for me all those years ago. I want to make my own choice. And I know, and this is a good thing maybe, at present, most of you are here because you chose as a young person because you want to be, and that's very important. It's never, never good to do things because you feel you have to. It's better to do things because you want to. And so you're coming this morning and you want to be confirmed in what was done for you all those years ago. And that's why, as I turn over the page to do the next part, believe it or not, the next part is, I'm going to ask you now, as an older person, realizing what you're doing, to renew the promises, the baptismal promises that your parents and your godparents made for you on the day you were baptized. So having said that, the conference